Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
Today we're going to talk about stressors around the holidays and why
you were like, let's clarify which kind of stressors.
The flashback before Christmas.
The flashback before Christmas. The Thanksgiving after party. The family you only see
flickering while trimming the tree. Were you trying to play Christmas music?
Sure wasn't, but that was a nice happy accident.
I just want to see how many great holiday stressor memes Taylor can come up with before this airs.
You and me. I like to find them. Taylor likes to make them.
Yeah, it's a good teamwork. Every November 1st, I hang up in my office a sign that says, I'll be home for Christmas and in therapy by New Year's.
Do you still have it?
Yeah.
Yay. We're going to have
I have one. I don't know if I kept it, that talked about therapy support groups, and it talks about like Santa and
doesn't believe in himself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got one of those.
I have that one. I hang up in my office.
I get that one every year from people, and I'm like, how original. It's like, so if you're listening, please don't send it to me. I already have probably like 7 people.
Or she could start a collection.
No. I don't even think the artwork's great.
Like, how people collect brushes.
Yeah. I collect nativity sets and I don't want to start collecting that.
Oh, but I think it's like, this is just a real thing that sometimes we can both, normally people who have holiday stress both love the holidays and struggle to identify and voice some of the stressors that come up. There are people who just acknowledge the stressors vehemently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's good for them. Some just like to acknowledge it and then just kind of leave it there, and they don't work through it. And I think that's a big thing we wanted to talk about today, is this idea of like, okay, you got to do more than just like, I hate all of this, and then just leave
it. I have a broken leg, and then not get a splint or a cast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes it's even about, if you get really honest about what the stressors are, creating boundaries around those things so that you can actually either increase your self-care around some of those stressors or choose to change traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the idea of changing traditions around the holidays for a lot of people feels wrong, but I've seen a lot of people who have needed to and been able to heal when they've been able to change some traditions in order to meet themselves emotionally in a very real place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense.
We've talked a lot about generational trauma, and holidays will be a good reminder. Good is a bad word. An unhelpful reminder of generational trauma, so that will be coming up for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just getting right into it of what does holiday trauma look like? It doesn't have to just be the fact of, I don't like Christmas, I don't like New Year's, I don't like this. It could be, like you're saying, like the ramping up of that, and not everyone's on their best behavior during that situation. Not everyone is the most calm. And so just that anticipatory thing, we mentioned body keeps the score. Whether it be a trauma you've endured in your own past history, or, you know, you are, I don't know, remembering just some little things that have happened. I think one of the big things is, whether it be a trauma in your past history, maybe it happened during the fall, the seasons start changing, your body notices that change and it notices, oh my gosh, this is very similar to that one time that big thing happened that this is connected to. Unfortunately, the holidays are a really great point to do that, because it is so, I guess, like, I don't want to say sensationalized, but it is so all encompassing and so predictable. And so your body gets the pattern too, right?
Right. There's triggers with activities that we, again, these focus around traditions, activities, smells, sensations, mm-hmm. all these things, meeting, getting together with people. Maybe you only get together with a couple times a year. The other thing that can be very real for people is that if we've had grief or loss, holidays can be very difficult because you might be re-experiencing holidays or traditions without people that you've mm-hmm. lost during the last couple of years. And that can be an area where there's both we look forward to it and it's not the same as it used to be.
Speaking of things aren't the same as they used to be, for people that are in new relationships, you're navigating which traditions are important to you. Like, I've always done things this way, and maybe your partner doesn't like that tradition, or you're trying to navigate how do we do traditions that are important to both of us, but the timing doesn't work out, or there's not enough resources to do both. Both of your families are trying to have you for everything, and so you're being pulled in multiple directions, mm-hmm. and there's just not enough of you to go around. A lot of holiday stresses are just the fact that there is a lot on the to-do list.
Yeah,
right. And when you have kids, right, they have school programs and their activities. So, and you know, and good communities can try and add things, right? You can have work parties and you can have church activities and you can have, oh, this is the one time of year I get together with my high school friends. So there's a lot on the calendar, and that just goes to the amount of stimulation. And I have to add here, when we add all that stress along with a lot of sugar and or a lot of alcohol, that's it might affect how people respond in those situations. I'm just throwing it out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think more protein.
It's just the perfect, it's like how we talk about like a kid's birthday party, right? If you expect a kid's birthday party to go really smoothly, you are dead wrong, right? It's like, this is the perfect culmination. You've got children who are hopped up on sugar. A lot of them are sleep deprived, very little parent, you know, participation usually, not very little, but obviously there's not two parents per child, which is probably what you need, but no one actually has that going on usually.
Your ratio is lower.
Yes. You have games going on. You have a lot of things like that, and you can't expect it to be a calm situation with that, right? And the holidays are like that, but with adult size things usually. And so what is happening is you also have people who are being told you have to be happy. It's the holidays, right? And I think that's one of the biggest things, whether we're talking about a holiday trauma or holiday stressor. I'm not saying one's bigger than the other, but there's just different levels of it for each person. You are being told during the holidays, there's so many songs. It's the most wonderful time of the year. This is the time for family. Well, that's not always true, right? And this would be a great opportunity for family. This would be a great opportunity for things to be happening. However, this is also a really great opportunity for the perfect storm to happen, right? And so with what you're talking about with it, yeah, I think you're mentioning all these different things that can be happening, and it's not always going to be the most smooth, great transition. It's not those quintessential holiday movies. Even It's a Wonderful Life, it happened pretty smoothly for him to go through a life change, right? And it looks a lot messier for people.
Well, and as you talk about it, I think about there's a what we call magical, but also fantasy level thinking around the holidays sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of people trying to create the perfect or the fantasy experience. And again, fantasy is the opposite of reality. So we just need to check into, I love that what you're saying, Haley, about expectations versus reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we find a lot of people feel just kind of blah around the holidays because it doesn't feel as magical as when they were a kid. And almost all of that has to do with the fact that A, they're not a child, and B, they're doing all the work behind the scenes rather than experiencing all of the fun stuff without the work.
Oh, yeah. You don't just wake up and things are there. trigger warning or spoiler warning.
Haley, everyone knows what you're talking about. Don't go.
Yeah,
there.
Don't say it. I'm just saying, don't listen to it if you have, you know, your kids around.
Unless certain people's spouses listen to this on loud with little ears.
I know, right? You're like, Rachel. No, just kidding. Well, it is one of those things. I mean, I think you do, as you're transitioning to your, you know, adult roles, whatever those might be, whether you have children, you don't have children, whether you are alone, you know, with someone in a group of friends, whatever it may be, we just, the holidays change as you get older, whatever that might look like, right? Sometimes it is about engaging in family things. Sometimes it's about making up your own holiday traditions. Sometimes it's about deciding I don't want to be part of these traditions anymore. There's a lot of transition that happens.
I think when we talk about mental health, one of the things that we find is that because Christmas, at least in our part of the world, experiences during a winter season, is that we see less daylight, less sunlight. We see some seasonal affective behaviors come in. People move less in the winter, they get less sunlight. And so on top of all these expectations going up and up and up, people don't necessarily say, hey, daylight savings time's hit, I'm going to start increasing my self-care to adjust for the changes in activity and light. And so there's not this automatic awareness that as winter comes, also our need for self-care can increase, or our,
your preemptive measures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Being more intentional about it versus in the summer, it's easier.
Also interesting fact. So a lot of people wonder why the rate of depression, I mean, we talk about suicidality, things like that, is so high in this region. And, there's a lot of these different things, the winter, the daylight, all these kind of things. Interesting fact as well, altitude can affect most depression anxiety medications. They've done some studies, and we have a very high altitude in the area, and they've found a correlation with areas that have high altitude being in relation to depression and anxiety. So some interesting things. There's a lot of reasons why there are a lot of factors that can really affect how people are and why this is a harder time and why we have a lot of things that are just kind of packed on top of each other to make it feel like it is a lot more difficult, especially this time of year. So what do we do?
Go skiing. Make use of the altitude.
I hate skiing. No, thank you.
One more thing before we switch to how do we address it, I want to address is also the financial aspect.
Oh gosh,
of the holidays.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is for people who might have reactivity. There's the financial stressors, but then just even reactivity, that we feel like buying gifts for people will make things better, or it will add to the fantasy, or we overextend ourselves and go into debt, and we are looking again for that fantasy magical, so we're not thinking about reality. That is another part of the aspect of what can add to stress during the holidays. And so I wanted to add that because it is very real. And I always end up talking to at least, several clients after the holidays talking about, you know, either the debt they went into, or we have couples therapy going on because they didn't have a conversation about it. It just always comes up.
Yeah. And it's that thinking, like you said, the magical thinking. There's a reason there's so many commercials for layaway programs, so many commercials for credit cards nowadays, things like that. Like, it's just insane. And it's just, like you said, this vision of, if you just get this, you'll be happier. If you just have this experience together, you'll be happier. If you have all the nice decorations. Now, I'm not ranting on decorations. I'm all for it, right? You come to my house, like I said, I collect different things. I'm not a hoarder, but I just saw a bunch of episodes of Hoarders, and I'm like thinking about it going, this sounds a lot like their rhetoric. I collect things. No, really, I do. And they're nice quality and they're good. And they take off.
Your house has been assessed and very clean.
And they take off a small area of my space. But no, like, I'm all for, you know, being part of it and doing the things you want to do. And here in the office, we try to have different things too. And I'm all for that, but within a budget, right? Within your budget, within your means, it doesn't make sense to strain and create this stressful scenario and then have to deal it in New Year's. Like, I mean, Taylor's, you know, little thing on, you know, in therapy by New Year's. So true. Therapy sessions uptick during the holidays and in New Year's, especially.
Yeah, January is a big time for intakes.
Oh, yeah. And which we're all for, because we want to help out as many people as possible. But it's just, I mean, maybe look at doing it before the holidays. I think that can go into our talk of like, what can you do? But that's one thing of like being aware financially, save up for the time. So that way you can use what you have in that moment rather than, you know, making it become a bigger stressor. And so you bring up a really great thing with that, Jen, of the finances. And when you don't have things, the stress of comparing yourself to those who say they have more, which, sorry, in Utah, majority of people here are buying things on credit, right? Credit issues are huge here. Debt is huge here. So you're going to look at these really nice families. And again, we talk about the mommy bloggers, and we talk about, you know, the Instagrammers or whatever. They're putting out all this really great imagery of what it could look like. And in actuality, a lot of it behind the scenes, it doesn't look that way in reality.
No, I have a really good friend who was a nanny for a mommy blogger, influencer, whatever you call them. And the influencer would always post pictures of these elaborate things saying that she and her very young son did these and it was super easy. But it was actually my good friend doing all of the work, mm-hmm. hours all day. And the mom would just come in and take pictures saying how easy it was, and it wasn't real.
What?
Yeah, shocking.
Amazing. Also, an influencer gets paid to help you spend your money. Just in case mm-hmm. you didn't know what an influencer's job was, it was to influence you to spend money. So just a little note on, if you see 40 million things you can spend money on, they are doing their job well. You do not have to spend money on all your things.
I think the most helpful thing during the holidays, and this isn't research based, this is personal philosophy. This is something I found to be incredibly helpful for myself and my family, is saying no. That no, we're not going to do that activity. No, we're not going to buy that thing. And so you end up doing fewer things, and having a clear calendar has made the holidays feel so much less overwhelming, not going into debt, not having to, not going to as many family activities, not feeling pulled in as many directions. The holidays feel so much more peaceful, and it feels like something you get to go do when you do something, instead of, oh my hell, like here's another Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday spent doing something else, and the kids are always tired and grumpy, they're hungry, they never get to go home, they don't get to relax. Mm-hmm. The holidays just feel like a different time of year, rather than, wow, we're running for 60 days, 30 days, whatever it ends up being.
And I mean, it's one thing to be like, there's so many fun things I really want to like be part of this and this and this. And there's another thing to say, I have to be part of this, this, and this, because this is just what we do. I hate when people are like, well, we have to fit it in because we do it every year. And I'm like, well, then don't. Don't do it every year. Make this be the first year.
Yeah. You know. Growing up, my parents were definitely in a financially different place than I am with my family. And so we always went to three plays, musicals, something mm-hmm. like that. And I loved them. We just don't do the same for not just financial reasons, but time constraints.
Also, you have littles and I don't think they could sit there.
Yeah, we went at that age.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't know if it was the fear of God that kept me still.
Probably.
Also, I do remember throwing up and ruining one of those things.
Yeah. There you go. How unlike you, being sick at a function.
Oh, weird. I should have known. The lab that made me made a mistake.
As we're talking about this, one of the themes that I keep hearing, and if we were to say like, what, how do we explain this to you? It's to set a boundary, right? Mm-hmm. Like to really give yourself permission to say, the holiday is not the absence of boundaries. That's not what makes it magical. It's the ability to say, I still have boundaries. I'm not going to be a different person during the holidays. I'm going to enjoy the holidays as I have my boundaries. So,
and I'm thriving within the boundary, right? It's right. Great.
Yeah. My kids, there will be one or two nights during the holidays where they stay up a little later than their 7 and 7:30 bedtimes. But other than that, like we still leave family gatherings, no matter if there's still a lot left on the, like we still haven't made gingerbread houses or we still haven't gotten to X, Y, or Z, but it's like, sorry, we're not going to deal with kids recovering for 3 days because we stayed up late.
I know. And it makes it so you can do less later, right?
Well, and that's, so that's another thing that, so boundaries are important, but also understanding your own like tolerance levels, right? So, mm-hmm. and this can go from how much sleep do I need, right? How much can I spend? How much sugar can I eat without causing myself to be up all night and or feeling sick the next day?
Yeah, I think my sister is still traumatized by the Hallelujah chorus from that incident.
Yeah.
A certain high school got
how many things can you take Taylor to without him throwing up is a really good resistance check-in. I won't be going to a concert with him this year.
Well, I think
it's a good policy.
So I was just talking about it with one of my clients who she has so much on her plate and she is amazing. But she's recognizing I have a lot of good things, but what do I do with all this? And we had a discussion where we were talking about it and saying, hey, I want you to go through, and I'm a color coordinator. She is too. So we were both like, okay, you need to color coordinate on your schedule. What are the mandatory things I have to do? Right. Doctor's appointments. Maybe looking and saying like, these are the things I really want to do. I always try to have a bucket list for every season. So like fall, it's like, I want to go to a corn maze at least once sometime. And I want to work on this project once, but then I usually try to keep it to like three things and that's it. And if I can like do those three things, awesome. For the holidays, come up with your bucket list of top like three activities you want to do as a family, right? And then those are mandatory of like, we need to get those done and where do we want to put them? But then everything else, it's the idea of what are things that are kind of mandatory, right? Family party, right? We're going to go for this much time at the family party or, you know, a Friendsgiving, something like that. And then put, you know, color coordinate the third thing where it's what are the things that I don't have to do at all, right? That are just fillers if I want to use them. Right. And look at your schedule. And what we're saying is like really manage that time, but also manage about like what energy do you want to have and how much energy do you want to have and how much finances do you want to have and calculate that and look at that before you go into the holidays. I know that might feel like you're over planning, but having that goal in mind is going to help you stay consistent with it. So with what we're talking about with all of these different things, please go have fun. But also recognize you need to have a limit for yourself of what do I know is too much that I'm just going to be way too overwhelmed. You can do the same thing with finances. You can do the same thing with your mental health resources. Like, honestly, like I was saying before, get into therapy before the holidays. If you know you're going to do it in January, do it now. Preemptively do it.
Or if you have a family party come up, make sure you schedule a therapy session for the week after so you can decompress afterwards.
If your therapy session is a Thursday and Thanksgiving falls on a Thursday, ask your therapist what they've got the days before then, right? Like be proactive about your mental health. Don't wait for someone else to always reach out because we are also trying to manage our holidays as well. So we are getting our schedules for the holidays slowly. I think as of right now, we're starting to look ahead of that. And we're recording in October, like the first couple of days, and we're starting to look at November and December. And, you know, if you know what you need, go ahead and make that your mandatory thing you need to be putting as part of that. And so again, stack your odds in your favor rather than realize later the odds are stacked against you.
So one of the things as you're talking about this, Haley, is I just want people to be aware if you're noticing as we're talking about boundaries, this idea of like, so-and-so won't be okay with me having a boundary, or I'm really worried about how so-and-so will respond to me having this boundary. That's a really good sign that there's work to do there.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So holidays, our job is to manage our emotions, to help the children we're responsible for learn to manage their emotions. But if you're managing another adult's emotions, there's probably work to do. Just throwing that out there as an awareness.
And have this be a conversation with your partner, with whomever you are aligning with, like you're saying, and talk about this idea of like, I want to do this so we can really enjoy our time, right? I want it less to be about let's pack it all in. And more about how do we do this to really enjoy the time we have together, to savor these moments? What does that look like? and have this be this is an amazing discussion. I have a lot of printouts for couples or, you know, partners who are looking at things and saying, how do we have this discussion? There are ways you can go point by point and discuss this. And it can be a really amazing time, not saying like, hey, we can't do A, B, and C. It's less about what can't we do and more about what do we want to engage in? What do we want to invest our time in? And what does that look like for us? And so this can be like a really great time to be able to help with that.
Also, if you're looking for something to put on your list and someone says, what would you like for the holidays? Not just giving them a list if you weren't asked, but if you were asked, consider self-care items, consider getting a massage, consider,
you experiences, know, it sounds like
experiences, more. Things that will help you. And I'm just going to tell you that hydrating is a really important part of any activity where there's, you know, a lot of food and alcohol.
Gift giving is another stressor for the holiday times. Mm-hmm. People think that if you get a gift, it becomes a debt that you then have to get that person a gift.
No.
But gifts come with ribbons, not with strings. And if someone gives you a gift and you can't afford to get them one, you can't figure out how to make something for them, just remember that try it and you'll find that it is survivable to not give someone something that gave you someone or that gave you something.
I give out Christmas cards every year and usually my gift of choice is...
And they're like fabulous.
Thank you. I do what
they're
I can.
They're really good.
Joe and I have to make new ones this year. But I also, I mean, my gift giving is like, I feel like I'm pretty good at making Rice Krispie treats. And so my big thing is I make a bunch and put them in Tupperwares and nice new Tupperwares, not old ones.
Trapped with the ghost.
I know.
Christmas past.
You know.
Back to the fact that she's not a hoarder. She also uses new Tupperware.
Brand new Tupperwares, which I think is a double purpose. I don't know. I've gotten that from people and I love it because I'm like, yeah, a new Tupperware I can use for my lunches. But I mean, that's a low cost. But for me, it's like sharing one of my favorite things. And then, you know, it is about that idea of like simply just the effort is not too high and it works really well. And you can find what works for you. I think even leaving it as a card, a lot of people don't get those. And I think that that's really nice and effective. And if you aren't sure what to give someone, just give them a card and let them know that you care. And especially pretty cards are fun to have. So there you go. May the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future be with you. JK, not everyone celebrates Christmas. So
Hanukkah past, present, and future.
Kwanzaa, whatever your holiday.
The Festivus for the rest of us.
I know. It's a good one.
Thanks for listening. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We'd love to hear from you.